An Australian professor of geosciences believes tourists should not have been on Fakari White Island because the volcano is too volatile. Five people are confirmed dead after the eruption at 2:11 yesterday. Eight people are still missing on the island and are presumed dead. The police this afternoon confirmed a criminal investigation has been launched. Emeritus Professor Ray Cass from Monash University School of Earth, Atmosphere and Environment in Australia has visited White Island twice before. Professor Cass told me the island is simply too remote and unpredictable to be a tourist attraction.
You're ferried to the island in a rubber ducky with 6 to 10 other people. Now, that, of course, is then the only means off the island as well, which becomes a problem when you need to evacuate large numbers of people in a hurry, as occurred yesterday. It was not possible to get everyone off the island very quickly there. So the fact that the island is uninhabited, it has no emergency services on the island, is very remote, is therefore the first major concern. Then you actually get onto the island and you walk into this very large enclosed amphitheatre-like crater. And it's spectacular. I can understand the fascination of wanting to go there. Because when you then start walking into the crater floor, you're confronted with multiple vents emitting gas. They're encrusted with sulfur. They're spectacular to see. But those gases are actually noxious. And there is a possibility that they could pond in that amphitheatre-like crater and actually cause asphyxiation at various times. In addition, there are, depending on the state of the volcano, there are one or more crater lakes that are filled with hot, steaming water. Now, those lakes have at times overflowed, so sudden overspills of extremely hot water, perhaps at boiling point, producing extremely hot mudflows. That, of course, is a huge hazard with the potential for causing extremely bad burns. That's the hazard associated with the crater lakes. But in addition, the banks of the craters are unstable, so that whenever you go there, there are concentric lines of cracks close to the edge of those crater lakes, where basically the banks are ready to collapse into the crater. And that's where a lot of people stand to try and, understandably, try and get the best shots.
So in your view, Professor, sorry to interrupt, but in your view, simply put, do you think those people should not have been on the island at all yesterday?
No, I don't, because the alert level had been raised to 2 in the last few weeks. Now, 2 in itself on a scale of 5 alert levels is usually not enough to indicate that there's a likelihood of a significant eruption. It's usually once you get to 3 and 4 that you need to really worry. But the fact that it had been raised indicates that things were happening inside the volcano. Hot magma or molten rock heats the groundwater. The groundwater consists of water vapors released by the magma, as well as seawater that is percolating into the volcanic edifice from the oceans. And that generates a constantly hot geothermal system that feeds those crater lakes. But the problem is that it's not only the water in those lakes that's a hazard, because under the volcano, in the cracks and fractures through which the water is circulating, those cracks and fractures begin to clog up as minerals precipitate in them, pressure builds up, and then, of course, the system needs to release that pressure with a significant explosion. And that's the biggest hazard with White Island, that you can get these unexpected significant explosions, even when the alert levels are relatively low. And you know, people would say, well, okay, you can go there, but you need to be very wary of possible dangers. Well, as we saw yesterday, disasters can happen even when the alert levels are low, and that's a big problem where explosions are largely driven by hydrothermal explosions.
I am not making light of the situation when I ask this question, but the reality is that there is risk associated with many things we do in life, and particularly with adventure tourism. So against that backdrop, this death occurring on this island, well, what, the last major incident was in 1914, was it?
That was the last time that there was a major loss of life, largely through a landslide and a, I think there was an accompanying small explosive event.
The point that being that the risk is relatively low, isn't it?
But look, this is always the case when you go to a volcanic environment. You particularly where there are active geothermal systems, you know that there is an element of risk. But when there are so many hazards in such a small confined crater, and you're actually in the crater of a major volcano, that is not a good place to have a lot of people. There are many other places in New Zealand where people can go to experience volcano tourisms, where in fact the risk levels are lower and more clearly understood. Rotorua, the summit areas of Tongariro, Ruapehu, and Narahoe are generally safe, although not completely without risk, has been shown by unexpected explosions on the Tongariro Plateau not so many years ago. But those areas, there is less likelihood of sudden unexpected explosions and other closely associated hazards, as we find in that last crater, large crater in White Island.
Should tourists return to this island?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Ever? Because of the unpredictability?
Yeah, exactly. Because even though the volcanoes had released pressure this time, there is no reason to expect that, therefore, we're not going to get one for many other years. And the problem then is, even if you accept that philosophy, there is going to be a next time, because the volcano will go off unexpectedly, particularly in the daytime. There will be people in the crater. There have been other eruptions in the last two decades, which have occurred, explosive eruptions, which have occurred at night. If they had occurred during the day, there would again have been at least injuries and probably some fatalities. So it's Russian roulette. If you take people there, and who's responsible for that?
Do you know the answer to that question? Who do you think is responsible?
This has to be a community decision made in New Zealand. It's not for me, as an outsider, to try and propose what should be done. New Zealand has a very well-qualified volcanologist. It has a very active tourism industry, but obviously everything needs to be conducted with the appropriate level of responsibility and care for the tourists who are undertaking these activities.
Would you go back there?
No.